Today with Sarah McInerney, weekdays from 10 on RTE Radio 1.
Now, as the country continues to reopen and businesses get back to work, human resources departments have never been busier, advising both the employer and employees of their rights and ensuring adherence to COVID-19 protocols. Well, to give us some HR advice, I'm joined in studio by Caroline McInerney. Caroline, who is Managing Director of HR Suite. I know we've spoken before. It's my own name, you see.
Yeah.
When I see yours, I stumble over it. But thank you for coming into us. If you have any questions or queries for Caroline, you can text us on 51551 or you can send an email to todayradio@rte.ie. Get those in straight away. We have Caroline here for 10 minutes and we'll try to get through as many of your questions as possible. So I suppose, firstly, have you seen an increase in demands in HR departments as companies are getting back to work?
Massively. I suppose, like, right throughout this, Sarah, there's been a huge need and dependency on HR advice. Everything from how do we close, how do we legally lay people off, how do we return, how do we open up. Obviously, with the government protocols that people have to put in place to ensure a safe working environment. And then there's all the normal challenges that go with remote working, some people concerned about returning, etc. And then, unfortunately, there's a lot of people looking at, will they reopen? Do they need to downsize, etc.? So HR departments have really had to shift where they may have been focused a lot on, you know, other areas of talent development, etc. Now there's a little bit of a focus on, OK, we need to still focus on all those bigger picture strategic pieces. But the immediate need is, how do we manage really proactively through a very challenging time?
OK, so one of the big changes, I suppose, over the last couple of months is the amount of people working from home. And we hear anecdotally that people are working longer hours, having to be available for Zoom meetings at different times, WhatsApp groups, emails, all of that going on outside possibly the normal hours. Are you getting much of that?
Without doubt. I think a lot of people are finding it very stressful, you know, in terms of trying to balance what isn't normal remote working. Normal remote working would mean the children are in childcare, you're working from home, you're avoiding the commute, but it's a lot less stressful. Whereas now people, because they've all those additional concerns and, you know, maybe they didn't have the right broadband or they don't have the right desk or the right chair or whatever it is. And also that need to maybe do the calls because they're feeling, God, I didn't fit in enough into my day today. They're feeling under pressure themselves. And as a result, you know, they're trying to put in the hours. And we know we've new proposed legislation as part of the programme for government around the right to disconnect. But we also have the Organisational Working Time Act that says people have to get their breaks, and not just legally they need them, but they need them to be more productive, because we know if people get the break when they're at work, then they'll be a lot more productive. But it's a real challenge.
So what is your advice then to both employees and employers around that?
I think there needs to be a re-look at what is the remote working policy, because this is normal remote working. And I think there needs to be formal check-ins to see, okay, we're doing it now for X many months. What's working well? What's not working well? What do we need to tweak and change, both from the employer's perspective and from the employee's perspective? Because employees want remote working to continue. Like, people are delighted with the fact they don't have to do the commute. But for many employees, they want to mix. They miss their colleagues. They feel, oh, projects are being, you know, given out to those that are in the office and I'm missing out. So people want to mix, and to get to a good mix that works well for both the employer and the employee, I think we need to revisit the policy and have really good open dialogue around what do we need to tweak and change to make this work better for everybody.
Yeah, so if you take that instance of an employee who's maybe half the team is being told to work from home and half is told to come into the office, and say you're at home and you're thinking, I'm being looked over for, or overlooked, you know, for big projects or a promotion, or this isn't good for my career, I want to get into the office but I'm being told to stay at home, what can they do?
I think for me it needs to be a case that for some people they work better at home, they're very organised and structured. For others, the structure of the office suits them better, and we know that people's different styles, etc., need to be taken into consideration. So I think if that employee has a discussion with their manager to say, listen, I feel I'm way more productive in the office, is it possible for me to be in a position to come in 3 days and work from home 2 days. I think the managers are finding it difficult also because they're managing remote workers that they mightn't have managed to that extent before. But I think, you know, flagging the fact that productivity is going to be less if people aren't, you know, working to their best style and their best way of working. I think that has to be something that both the employee flags, but the managers really need to take into consideration as well. And I suppose training for managers and training for employees around what are the tips and skills, for example, being really organised, having a default diary, you know, taking your breaks. There's lots of tips around how can we make this work better. And some of it is common sense, but that's not so common when people are landed into this. And we need them to form new habits, and tips around that I think are very helpful.
What about then when companies are reopening fully and they want everyone back in the office, but an employee doesn't feel comfortable about going back in? Do they have any rights to say no?
So it depends on the why. Like, first of all employers now have a big responsibility to meet the government return to work safely protocol. It's an obligation on them that the Health and Safety Authority are auditing. And also from a well-being and a morale, retention, confidence, they have to make sure they're doing that to a very high standard. So that has given huge confidence to a lot of employees to say, OK, I'm happy now to return for that reason. But we know that this pandemic is here for a very long time into the future. So it's not OK, I suppose, to say, listen, I'm not comfortable coming back until we get a vaccine, because none of us know when that will be. But for example, if you have somebody who says, listen, I'm really stuck here. I won't have childcare until September. So I need a bit of leeway between now and September. To me, that employer has to play ball with that employee to say, right, is there any hours you can give me that when the kids are in bed, or can you work remotely for some of those hours, etc. So there has to be give and take from both parties here so that we can reasonably accommodate them, and vice versa, we're being fair to that employee as well.
What about then for an employee who's in one of the vulnerable categories, you know, maybe an asthmatic, for example, or something like that, who would have more concerns than your average person about going into any sort of crowded space? But that's not going away either, you know, that condition, in the same way the virus isn't going away. What is their position if they can't work remotely, or if they, you know, their job can't be done from home?
Absolutely. I suppose for a lot of environments now, we've seen they have the face masks and they have the visors, etc., which are optional in some places and, you know, required in others. I think getting medical advice from an occupational health doctor on, look, Caroline has asthma, Caroline wants to come back, we want her to come back, but we'd like your medical assessment on any measures we need to put in place, and consulting with that employee to identify those measures too. Because as you rightly said, this isn't going away, the condition or the you know, the environment we're in. So again, I think it's trying to identify any concerns they might have. It might mean we have to reorganise where they sit. They might, instead of having them in open plan, we might have them in a quieter corner where they've less thorough traffic going past, or whatever the case may be. But I'm finding that employers working with employees, but getting independent medical advice to guide them, because it's not acceptable for us to say, well, I think your asthma will be grand until November. That's not okay. We need to get medical advice to say, right, what are the things and precautions we need to put in place, so that guides our advice in that regard.
Okay, we have a question in here. We've sort of covered it, but I'll put it to you anyway. Remote working is extremely hard. I'm in a tiny bedsit with internet that goes in and out, a small laptop screen, yet expected to maintain the same level of productivity. Small companies have no idea of human resources. I've requested to go back to the office, but my employer is ignoring me, yet questioning my productivity when I have said what I need to achieve that.
I suppose, like, that listener now is really between a rock and a hard place, because, like, for them, it's impossible to be productive on an ongoing basis. That's fine if it was one day a week, the person would probably manage. But when it's more long term, I would say the employer is really missing out. And the fact that they have no HR advice is probably part of that. I think the fact the employer is really missing out on that person's full productivity, they're paying them a wage, yet they're not getting the full potential. And also they're causing a lot of frustration, stress and additional anxiety to that employee. So nobody's winning in that scenario. And that's why I think employers do need to press pause and say, right, what can I do to maximise these people's productivity and morale? Like, it's been really difficult for people. There's no two ways, you know, but now we're in a new norm that I think it's a really good time to say, what are we going to do now going forward? Because what got us here, using the example of that listener, won't get us to the next stage, because that person's just going to leave and get another job where they're a lot more valued and looked after a lot better.
Okay, just very quickly, one more. Hello, Caroline. My son is working from home since the start of the lockdown. Unfortunately, he's getting no breaks, eats his lunch at his desk, often working 10 hours a day. He's 26 and no work colleague contacts. What are his rights?
So he's rights are under the Organisation of Working Time Act, he's entitled to get, after working 4.5 hours, a 15-minute break, after working 6 hours, a half-hour break. However, parking those, an 11-hour rest break as well, by the way, between shifts, but they're his rights. But more than that, he should, and it's hard at 26, might be his first job and he might be looking to really prove himself to be amazing. I would say if he could at all have a chat with his manager to say, listen, I just don't feel I'm as productive as I could be if we made some tweaks or changes, and hopefully that'll be received well.
OK, well, lots of other questions. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to them. But thank you so much for joining me here in studio. That's Caroline McEnery, who is Managing Director of HR Suite. Now, we have a statement in from Michelle O'Neill, Deputy First Minister of Northern Ireland, on her attendance at the funeral of Bobby Storey. In it, she says, there has been considerable controversy over my attendance at Bobby Storey's funeral. He was my friend. At the foremost of my mind are all the families who are grieving. I've listened carefully to the voices of those who have lost loved ones. No family's grief is more important than another's. If the regulations had prevented me from attending his funeral, I would have obeyed those regulations. At the funeral and mass, I kept the regulations, as I have advised others to do. The PSNI will look into all of this. It is unfortunate that this matter has divided the executive. We have important work to do, and I firmly believe that all the parties of the executive are committed to this and to power sharing. We have made good progress in this despite all the difficulties. My commitment is to continue this work. COVID-19 is still with us, and I will continue to lead us through this and into recovery. Again, that's from Michelle O'Neill, Deputy First Minister of Northern Ireland. And we'll be speaking to Sinn Féin TD Martin Kenny on The Gathering later. We'll get his reaction to that statement, among other topics, a little later. Now, my apologies, we're going to the newsroom and Carla O'Brien.